The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show, or as presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke might say, Bienvenido al programa de radio, como matar una hora. I'm the Ed Man, here to talk about the news for the past week, but this week, actually, we're going to talk about the Democrat debates. Not one, but two full clown cars filled, pulled up, and dumped their latest bunch of candidates on us. And we got a chance to see, in depth, their inane ideas and future broken promises. Now, I'm going to try to cover the insanity of each and every one of them, and there's 20 candidates. This show is only 24 minutes long. How am I going to do it? I don't know, but I'd better get started right away. All right, let's start off with the bees and the night one, Cory Booker. You know, Cory Booker, I don't think he's going anywhere. Typically, if this was 1996, he would do really well. He's a good moderate candidate, part establishment, you know, part fake on the side of the people. The big thing is that he wants to abolish ICE as soon as he gets into office, day one, and that he can speak a little bit of Spanish. When Beto O'Rourke started speaking Spanish, Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren looked at him like he was crazy, dude. And I think Elizabeth Warren was just looking at him like he was crazy, but I think the reason that Cory Booker was looking at him was because he realized that his thunder had been stolen. Because later on, Cory Booker came out with this.
La situación ahora es inaceptable. Este presidente ha atacado, ha demonizado los inmigrantes. Es inaceptable y voy a cambiar este. On day one, I will make sure that number one, we end the ICE policies and the customs and border policies that are violating the human rights.
So Cory Booker can speak bad Spanish. Hoop-de-dam-do. It's not going to help him. He's still cratering in the polls, and he's going to stay there, straddling the border between no one liking him, no one caring about him.
Me llamo Julián Castro, y estoy postulando por presidente de los Estados Unidos. The very fact that I can say that tonight shows the progress that we have made in this country.
Come on, Julian, get with the program. You're not supposed to let people know that you actually have opportunities in this country if you're a minority. But let your fellow race baiters tell you, get your head straight there, right? You know, I like Julian Castro, actually. The way that he presents himself. I like the way he presents himself. But I don't think he stands out in this field. And, you know, when Donald Trump was running, he dominated the whole time. You're going to see people move up and down through this race. But I don't think he's going to be there at the end of the journey here.
On January 20th, 2021, we'll say adios to Donald Trump.
Well, I think it's actually time for us to say adios to Julian Castro. And hello to breakout candidate, new star, the young buck, Mayor Bill de Blasio. You know, everybody underestimated this guy because nobody likes him. People in New York don't like him. And if they don't like you where you're mayor, then what chance do you have, right? And yet, he had a lot of really good answers. Not from my point of view, but, you know, from if I was just a Democrat or even an independent looking at him, you think, man, this guy knows what he's doing. And his past political experience really came to bear against some of the newer candidates. And he ended up looking pretty darn good here. Now, the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, I don't think, is ever going to go along with this guy. They see him as a fake and a phony. And the general public, I believe, is going to think that he's too extreme. I mean, this is a guy who banned how many sodas you can drink. So I think that he's not going to make it. But he is he did have a good showing for himself over here at this debate. But I did want to play another clip from Bill de Blasio, and this one is when he's asked. This one he's basically blaming racism. In my opinion, this is what he's saying here for Trump's election.
challenges for all the American citizens out there who feel you're falling behind, who feel the American dream's not working for you. The immigrants didn't do that to you. The big corporations did that to you.
Oh no, the corporations, they sold me all this stuff that I use in my everyday life. No. All right, and then here's another one. This is why he won't get the far-left progressives, because they know that the Russia hoax is just a hoax. They know that this giant conspiracy theory of the Russians meddling in our election is just a bunch of BS. And here's Bill de Blasio being asked by Chuck Todd, what is the greatest geopolitical threat facing America today?
Russia, because they're trying to undermine our democracy, and they've been doing a pretty damn good job of it, and we need to stop them.
All right. You know, John Delaney reminded me of somebody, and I couldn't remember who it was, and my girlfriend just showed me. It's Vizzini from Princess Bride. The guy looks like an actor slash comedian, you know, one of these guys who, like a Will Ferrell-type character, you know, and he's like playing the part of someone who's a presidential candidate, but isn't actually a presidential candidate, and that's who John Delaney reminds me of. But he's basically Bernie Sanders light, like a lot of these Democrat candidates are. So why don't they just vote for Bernie Sanders, right? I mean, what reason would a person have to vote for somebody who's just aping Bernie Sanders, or maybe I should say copying Bernie Sanders so I don't get in trouble, who's just copying Bernie Sanders but isn't Bernie Sanders? Just vote for Bernie Sanders. So I think that he's a no-go also for winning the nomination. Or if he gets it, or if any of these people get it, they're going to lose. Next is Tulsi Gabbard, my girl there. I'm not just saying that because I desperately want to sleep with her. I'm saying it because I really think she's got the greatest foreign policy stance that there is. And I would vote for her simply for that over Trump. And she would make such sense to be the nominee, because not only is she extremely presidential, not only does she know what she's talking about and come across that way, but she is able to unite both Democrats and Republicans and libertarians, you know, because of her strong stance against war. And I think that she would actually beat Donald Trump, but they're going to bury her. Remember, I said on the show last week, if they give her any questions, it's going to be attacking questions. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. Here's a question that they gave to Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's the only candidate who got one of these attacking questions in the first debate.
One of the first things you did after launching your campaign was to issue an apology to the LGBTQ community about your past stances and statements on gay rights. After the Trump administration's rollbacks of civil rights protections for many in that community, why should voters in that community, or voters that care about this issue in general, trust you now?
Such a crummy question. Of course, she gave a great answer, as usual. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to skip, because Tulsi Gabbard got into an exchange here with Tim Ryan. So I'm going to play a little bit of the clip. So I'm going to switch over to Tim Ryan, and you're going to hear his question and part of his answer, and then you'll hear Tulsi jump in. So Rachel Maddow is going to ask a question, then I'll just let the clip play here.
Today, the Taliban claimed responsibility for killing two American service members in Afghanistan. Leaders as disparate as President Obama and President Trump have both said that they want to end U.S. involvement in Afghanistan. But it isn't over for America. Why isn't it over? Why can't presidents of very different parties and very different temperaments get us out of there? And how could you?
I appreciate that question. So I've been in Congress 17 years, and 12 of those years I've sat on the Armed Services Committee, either the Defense Appropriations Committee or the Armed Services Committee. And the lesson that I've learned over the years is that you have to stay engaged in these situations. Nobody likes it. It's long. It's tedious. But right now we have, so I would say we must be engaged in this. We must have our State Department engaged. We must have our military engaged to the extent they need to be.
All right, we get it. So Rachel Maddow says, every president wants to get out, but they can't do it. How are you going to get us out? And then Tim Ryan's answer is, we have to stay engaged. We just have to have forever, never-ending war. And then here's what Tulsi Gabbard says to him.
To jump off what he said, he described engagement as the problem.
Is that what you will tell the parents of those two soldiers who were just killed in Afghanistan? Well, we just have to be engaged. As a soldier, I will tell you that answer is unacceptable. We have to bring our troops home from Afghanistan. We are in a place in Afghanistan where we have lost so many lives. We've spent so much money, money that's coming out of every one of our pockets, money that should be going into communities here at home, meeting the needs of the people here at home. We are no better off in Afghanistan today than we were when this war began. This is why it's so important to have a president and commander-in-chief who knows the cost of war and who's ready to do the job on day one. I am ready to do that job when I walk into the Oval Office. Thank you very much.
Listen, I'm going to go down the line. I'm going to go down the line here. Well, you know what? You felt like she was responding. You get 30 seconds.
Go. Good man.
Fair enough.
I appreciate that.
I hear what you're saying.
I would just say I don't want to be engaged. I wish we were spending all this money in places that I've represented that have been completely forgotten and we were rebuilding. But the reality of it is, if the United States isn't engaged, the Taliban will grow and they will have bigger, bolder terrorist acts. We have got to have some present there.
The Taliban was there long before we came in. They'll be there long before we leave.
Well,
we cannot keep U.S. troops deployed to Afghanistan thinking that we're going to somehow squash this Taliban
I didn't say squash them. When we weren't in there, they started flying planes into our buildings. So I'm just saying right now,
the Taliban didn't attack us on 9/11. Al-Qaeda did. Al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11.
I understand.
That's why I and so many other people joined the military to go after Al-Qaeda, not the Taliban. The Taliban
protecting those people who were plotting against us. All I'm saying is, if we want to go in to elections and we want to say that we got to withdraw from the world, that's what President Trump is saying. We can't. I would love
you know
for us to.
Who's protecting Al-Qaeda right now in Saudi Arabia.
And that was the end of the exchange. Man, Tim Ryan got owned. It shows that he didn't know what he was talking about, and Tulsi Gabbard did. Also, he just said that he felt that we must be engaged, and then he said he didn't want to be engaged. Now, to be fair to him, I know he meant he doesn't want to be there, but we just have to be there. But after saying the word engagement so many times, basically saying that it was a must that we stay engaged, to then say, well, I don't want to be engaged, that didn't come across as sounding very good. Then to try to compare her to Donald Trump, and not only that, saying that Donald Trump is too peaceful of a president, that we're not engaged enough, and then the smear that they've been running since Ron Paul, that somebody who doesn't want to bomb foreign countries is an isolationist. An isolationist means that you don't want to trade with other countries, not that you don't want to bomb other countries. That's not what isolationism is. So why does our engagement with other countries have to be sending out troops and blowing them up? It's so weird where we've gotten to today in politics that's even acceptable to say. Engaged. Could you imagine that? Hey, you know what? My buddy's engaged. I'm inviting over to his wedding. And then you go to the wedding, it like blows her up with a bomb or something. I mean, the drone just drops a bomb on her. You know, that's something I used to hate about school. They'd be like, oh, war just broke out. It just broke out. Hey, how about you tell us why it just broke out? War broke out. You know, these words, they mask the real kind of horror behind it, right? But other than that gaffe against Tulsi, I mean, who can fight against Tulsi Gabbard, right? She's so good. I think, though, that Tim Ryan is probably going to do pretty well. I'm sure we'll hear from him again. And I think Tulsi will go up with the people, but they're going to fight so hard against her getting any traction. I don't think she's going to go anywhere, even though I very much would like her to, especially with me. Woo-hoo! Next up, we got Jay Inslee, lovable Jay Inslee, who is, I think he's kind of like Tulsi Gabbard and, you know, some of these other guys, they kind of hang back. They don't really interrupt too much. I think Jay Inslee might have jumped in once there, but he's another Bernie Sanders light. I mean, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Seems like a nice dude, but I don't think we'll hear from him again, probably. Amy Klobuchar, you know, I feel like she's an establishment pick and another one of these people who the establishment would love to have in there, but is masquerading as a progressive candidate and the progressives don't respect her at all. I don't think she's going to do very well. And she is, She comes across as somebody who's very good at acting genuine, but I don't think she is genuine, and I don't think she'll go very far. Beto O'Rourke. I mean, what can I say about Beto, a.k.a. Beta O'Rourke, that hasn't been said already? And if I was to say something about him, it would probably be in Spanish. So he kicked off the whole thing, and look, guys, look, I'm being funny. When I make fun of them for speaking in Spanish, the debate was carried by, I can't remember, it was carried by a Spanish-speaking channel, so it was reaching a Spanish audience, so I personally understand why they were doing it. I mean, obviously it was to pander, but, you know, if you're a normal guy who doesn't follow Democrat, Republican, you don't look at behind-the-scenes stuff, right? You just don't think anything. This stuff is just coming out of left field. Right, you're just watching. Even if you speak Spanish, you must be watching these white people, and then all of a sudden they bust out with the Spanish. And I guess Cory Booker technically is not white, but you know what I mean. And I guess there are a lot of foreign people who are white that speak Spanish, but again, you know what I mean. I mean, you're just at home, and then this just hits you by surprise, and it comes off as so pandering. And Beto O'Rourke is the one that kind of started it all tonight. His answers were pretty weak. He looked like he was really nervous and unsure, like he kind of wandered onto the debate stage by accident. And even though he was really pushed, you know, early on, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. The progressives who loved him have now abandoned him, and they see him as being pretty weak and very pandering. You know, he does the same thing as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He tweets all of his business out and, you know, live streams it for no reason. And I think everybody's over him. So I don't think Beto O'Rourke is going to be coming back either. All right, we talked about Tim Ryan already. And so now we've got Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren is interesting, isn't she? Because I always figured that that she'd come back. So progressives were mad at her. When I say progressives, I'm talking about the far left of the Democrat Party. Progressives were mad at her. Because even though she is basically a female Bernie Sanders, she did not endorse Bernie Sanders when he was campaigning in 2016. And in fact, endorsed Hillary Clinton, who she had earlier kind of admitted that she didn't like. So everybody thought that that was like a really weak move on her part. And then when it came out that the race was rigged against Bernie Sanders because Hillary Clinton had bought out the DNC and basically had complete control over, hiring, firing, interviews, all of this stuff. And it was shown that and proven that Bernie Sanders was screwed over. And not only that, Hillary Clinton actually then hires a person who screwed Bernie Sanders, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And still, nothing from Elizabeth Warren. In fact, after it was proven, Elizabeth Warren said at first that it was rigged against Bernie Sanders, and then took it back and said that she didn't really mean that those words were too strong. Isn't that funny? So Elizabeth Warren should be doing very well, and now she is gaining traction again, but I think that all this stuff will come back to haunt her, not to mention, of course, the DNA thing. They didn't ask her about that, so she's not getting questioned. She's going to think it's blown over, and then once she gets into a debate with Trump again, he's going to hit her with this stuff, and her numbers will go back down. But overall, I do think she's a very strong candidate. She's very articulate. I think that probably she could out-debate Trump. Definitely on policy she can. And so she's one of the people that I'm afraid of, right? I think Elizabeth Warren is very strong. So let's hope that she doesn't do well. You know, Warren really should have picked a different year to run, and she would have done really good. I don't know why in the heck she would pick this year, knowing that Bernie Sanders was going to be in the race, but whatever. I guess a lot of people will smell kind of blood in the water. Another thing for another ding against her with progressives is that recently she has been, I don't want to say lauded, but a lot of establishment news sources have been talking positively about her. That's never a good sign for the progressives. And also, she has not really been talking against the wars. So maybe there's been some kind of deal made. And I noticed that Elizabeth Warren is getting kind of pushed. Maybe they prefer her over Bernie Sanders, who is probably less controllable, although he did sell out and ended up supporting Hillary Clinton, and a lot of his supporters turned against him for that. But they all seem to be back in full force, liking Bernie Sanders again. Michael Bennett, kind of like him, but he's another Bernie Sanders light. I don't think he will do very well either. Next up is Joe Biden. Joe's not doing too well. Kamala Harris kind of kicked his teeth in. So he's pretty much done, kicked his dentures in, right? His smile is ace, though. He looked young and vibrant. I have to say, you get the image from Trump's constant calling him Sleepy Joe. And you see him in a lot of times he looks kind of lethargic, but he looked great. But not quite fast enough. There was one point where he kind of gave up his time. He was like, oh, well, my time is up. And that didn't come across too good, especially since he was on defense already. I think the establishment would love to have him, probably most of all. But with so many gaffes and a lot of people kind of turning against him, I think he's going to have some trouble going forward. However, I believe that he is the number one establishment pick, although much like Obama got chosen over Hillary Clinton, I think they're going to try to get Kamala Harris over Joe Biden this year. And I've been saying that for a long time, way before this breakout. So I want to have called that. I want to get credit for having called that if and when Kamala Harris gets pushed to the forefront here. Because after her debate performance last night, everybody else is going to be doing it. But I want everybody to know that I got there first. I feel like I should spend some more time on Joe Biden because he is very impactful at this point. But he's run and lost so many times. I don't think people have confidence in his ability to win, at least the establishment. And they're the ones who pull the strings for these Democrats. Pete Buttigieg, I think that's how you say his name. I keep feeling like I'm withholding a sneeze whenever I mention him. I kind of like him, not in that way, you know what I mean, but he seems like a solid candidate. Don't think he's going to go anywhere when you've got Bernie Sanders sucking up all the air in the room, however. But you never know. Kirsten Gillibrand, how do you say her name? Gillibrand. If the nomination was based on who interrupted the most, she would already have it. I don't think she'll get anywhere either, though. Another establishment candidate parading around as a progressive. This is another Hillary Clinton in the making. I don't think she will do well. I'm almost out of time here. Kamala Harris did really well last night, at least according to all of the news outlets. She did have a good showing against Joe Biden by claiming to be black and telling Joe Biden, I don't believe you're a racist, but the facts prove that you are a racist. But I think she believes in 90s style politics, early 2000s style politics. She is going to swerve if she makes it, and she probably will. She's going to swerve, and everyone's going to see her for the phony that she is. The progressives hate her. They really do believe in the slogan, Kamala Harris is a cop, and they are not going to vote for her. So I think if she gets the nomination, she'll probably lose against Trump, although there is always a chance of fooling enough people into voting for you. That's always a danger. Eric Swalwell telling Joe Biden to pass the torch was just kind of silly. I mean, you know that older people come out in force to vote, right? Why are you going to make them angry at you? And his bad one-liners are laughable. The dude looks like he's made out of plastic. I don't think anybody likes him. I don't think he's going anywhere. All right, I'm almost out of time. Let me gloss over this here. Marianne Williamson. Boy, she's nuts, huh? I think I might close the show with her remarks. My crazy neighbor who drinks too much Diet Coke is running for president. That's interesting. Andrew Yang. Everybody expected him to do very well. He's the one who wants to pay everybody $1,000 even if they don't do anything. I think it might be a good idea if we can use it to get rid of all these other social programs that are sucking us dry. But I heard rumors that his mic was cut, so maybe the establishment is working against him. Also, when you're asked how you're going to pay for something, answering the question with what is not a good look for you. Oh, I miss John Hickenlooper. Well, the best thing about him is his name. And that's it, guys. We got through everybody, unbelievably. Let's wrap.